Hello, I'm Eric Corman, Communications Director at League of Education Voters. In this podcast, we interview policymakers, partners, and thought leaders to spotlight education policies, research, and practices so that together we can create a brighter future for every Washington student. Chalisa Thompson is a sophomore at Highline College in Des Moines, Washington, and serves as the student body vice president. Chalisa participates in Highline College's Emoja Community Program. Named after the Swahili word for unity, Emoja places small groups of its students together in the same set of classes that include cultural context through an African-American lens, such as studying the legacy and trauma of slavery in America on today's Black community. The program also includes mentorship and academic advising. Students in the program are more likely to stay in college from one semester to the next, have higher grade point averages, and pass basic English and math classes at higher rates than their peers. In Washington State, only 16% of Black students at community or technical colleges earn an associate's degree within 3 years. For all students, that completion rate is 23%. Chalisa, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you. I'm excited.
So are we, actually, because as far as I'm concerned, students are thought leaders. So you definitely fall in the realm of what this podcast is all about.
Yeah.
At League of Education Voters, we value supports for students in post-secondary programs, especially students from historically and systemically underserved communities. How has the Emoja Community Program helped you?
For me, I think the Emoja Program really revived a sense of hope in my post-secondary future. So before Highline, I really didn't see myself going to college. I didn't do great in high school. So I was like, college isn't really an option. But through the principles of Emoja, I was actually reached out to by a previous Emoja student who was sharing how they had learned so much through the program, how they had grown. And I was like, you know what, that sounds really interesting. So I ended up going to meet with Liz Word, the program coordinator, and she talked to me about the program. And I was sold at that point. So I ended up enrolling in Highline, enrolling in the Emoja program, and I just soared from there. I went from having a 1.7 GPA in high school to a 4.0 in college. So,
whoa.
Yeah. So the Emoja program, it offered the support that I needed. As a Black student, education isn't always priority. You're worrying about, your home situation, your finances, and all these things, being at a disadvantaged place.
Mm-hmm.
My education just wasn't my priority, and they made my education their priority. So that was pretty cool. So seeing that they had hope in me, really instilled, okay, I can do this. And it allowed me to recognize my potential. It made me excited for my future.
That's fantastic.
Through the excitement I got from the faculty, teachers, mentors, counselors. I mean, you name it, it was there.
So you mentioned how the student who was already in the Emoja program reached out to you. How did they find you?
It's actually one of my friends.
Oh.
Yeah. So we worked together at an after-school program called Cry Out. I knew he was in school, but I didn't know the depths of the program and what it offered. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, you're in school. I just had so much going on. I just didn't have time for it.
Mm-hmm.
It was more so an observation. I would notice his intellectual level was increasing, and I would notice the conversations he were having were more in-depth, and he was critically analyzing and thinking systemically. And I was like, that's what I want to do, you know? So that kind of sparked my interest in the program. So just kind of observing how it had impacted and changed him made me want to go for it. So,
I can totally see why.
Yeah.
So what does it look like on the ground? I mean, you talk about the mentorship and you talk about the supports that you're receiving, but what does it look like when you're actually going through it?
It looks like a community. It looks like a family. People walk through that door from all walks of life. You know, we had me, who I consider myself a non-traditional student, but then we have someone in the class who's in their 50s. It looked like a community. It looked like people working together to move forward, which is something they really like to implement in the program, is community. And that's what I needed at the time. So it looks like accountability. You know, if you're not in class, your classmates are calling you, where are you at? Do you need a ride? Do you want us to come pick you up? Are you okay? It was really we're not going to approach it from you're a bad student, but how can we support you? If you're not in class, you know, is everything okay? Can we do anything to help? What can we do to make sure that you're successful as possible in this program? Just having someone understand that you're not perfect, that you have things going on, that alone can really reshape how you approach education. So if I was yelled at, if I was late, I would be like, you know what? I don't even want to go, you know, like, yeah. But when you're late, it's like the teacher be like, hey, is everything okay? And just that alone is like, wow, they're not yelling at me. I didn't get in trouble. I didn't, you know, which is oftentimes what you get in high school.
Yeah.
So yeah, at the ground level, it's really intentional. It's really deliberate. It's very success focused. Like, how can we make you successful? That's really what the environment is like when you walk in.
Would you say it's kind of like a study community? I mean, do you have people that you can actually sit down with and say, hey, I'm working on this. Let's work on this
yeah,
together.
Yeah. So they operate. It's a cohort system. The cohort enters and they take all their classes together through the program. So it's really we're all doing the same thing. So it's not like everyone's at a different place. All the Umoja classes, we move together.
Mm-hmm.
If one person's behind, we're all behind. We do what we can to get everyone on the same page. So if one person's struggling, everyone's like, what can we do to support you? Where was it falling apart? If I needed to, I still go in there. Like if I want to study, if I have questions, I still go. I graduated from the program, but it's still a village. We call it the village, the classroom. It's not a classroom. It's a village because we're a community. We're a family. There's always resources and support there if need be.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
So you graduated from the program. Is it a year, a year and a half? How does that actually work?
So the program's a year. You start fall quarter and you take classes like critical thinking for equity, diversity and globalism classes, environmental science, sociology. It's based off like there's a statistic that the average African-American student doesn't complete 15 college credits in an academic school year. And they are very intentional and they make sure that you complete those 15 credits in your first quarter.
Wow.
So, yeah. So your first quarter, you're already ahead of the game. And then from there, it just continues. So like my first year, after I graduated the program, like I was well ahead of other students. Just seeing that, just seeing like, wow, I did all of that, you know?
That's incredible. I mean, just the fact that you can be on a track like that, because it sounds like you took a step back afterwards and like, whoa, did it sort of... And I don't want to use the word unlock potential just because the potential was always there. But did it change your own belief system about what you could do?
Yes, definitely. I think that being referred to, one, as a scholar, I came from high school with a 1.7 GPA. You know, like I was like, I'm not a scholar. But from day one, we're referred to as Black scholars.
Mm.
Regardless of where you're at, where you're coming from, you're a scholar. And that alone is giving you that hope like, okay, you know, I am a scholar. They really highlight your intelligence, affirming that you are smart. You know, you may have had bumps in the road, but you're intelligent. And they make sure you recognize. It's like it's a lot of understanding self-awareness. Why do I have these views on education? What has shaped my views in education that way? Why do I hate reading? You know, kind of like taking away the stigma that it's your fault. Going into it knowing, okay, it's not my fault. I am very intelligent. And I'm more than capable of doing more than what I'm doing now. So like going into the program, I had no idea really what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And through that program, I ended up finding my passion for diversity, equity, people, and like all these things, because that's what was valued in that program. And I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I want to be that resource to help people, you know? So they definitely brought awareness to my potential. For sure.
So in your education journey, what worked for you and what didn't up to this point?
In terms of like college or all of it?
Up until college, because it sounds like the Umoja program was just massive. It just sounds like such an amazing thing.
Yeah.
But up until then, you had more that didn't work than what did.
I moved around a lot. I went to a lot of different schools. I went to extremely like predominantly white schools. I went to extremely underfunded schools in the Philadelphia school system. So just like the instability of education for me, it really turned me away from continuing. It was just like, I don't want to deal with that anymore. You know, it was the teachers didn't have the passion. Like I went through a lot of like, if you're not passionate about it, I won't be passionate about it. So going through school where one, like in the predominantly white schools, I was bullied and, you know, called, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Philadelphia school system, same thing. Like I was bullied because I was too white, or it was less about the academics for me. It was more like I just need to survive in this environment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what my views on education were. It was like, I'm fine. I have a job. Like, I don't want to go through that again. I never had community in education. Like, it was very individualistic. Everyone was doing their own thing, and I was just kind of there. I didn't have support that I needed. I did need support through, like, my younger years of education, just with the circumstances that I was going through that I didn't receive. So, yeah, education was never, like, on my radar, was never really priority up until college. After high school, like, I got accepted into Eastern Washington, but because, like, I was a first-generation student, my mom didn't really know much about how to navigate the college system. I ended up getting $900 in financial aid for, like, $26,000 tuition.
Jeez.
Right. It just fell through the cracks, and I ended up getting into the work cycle, and I just worked and worked and worked, and that school just was not even a thought. But coming back, like, seeing that community, because through that, like, after high school, I took, like, a four-year break. So, like, through that break, I was seeking community. I was seeking involvement. I was seeking all these things that I just didn't figure I could get from school. So I was involved in the after-school program, and that's where I got closer to my friend who was at Highline at the Emoja program. From there, it's like history.
Yeah, it sure is. Now that the 2019 legislative session is underway, and we're looking at ways that we can make the education system better in our state, if you had the power to change it, what would you do?
If I had the power to change something in the education system, I would definitely implement the practices and principles that are valued in Umoja at a younger level. So I don't think we should wait until college to teach people the importance of community building and being intentional, deliberate, and operating out of the ethic of love and manifesting and all these things that are so powerful and can really change someone's perception of things. Like, if I was addressed as in elementary school about how important community is, mm-hmm. I don't think I would have gone through that whole ordeal of, like, not having support. I feel like support is something that everyone needs, regardless of how independent they are, how successful they are. Everyone needs support in some way, shape, or form, whether it's just emotional support, just resources, and, like, everyone needs that support, that someone cares, someone is there for you, someone has your back if you fall. Incorporating those things at, like, a younger level will reshape how successful students are big time. Because I think this 1 year, like, has transformed so much in, like, how I see the world, how I want to change things. And I think just implementing some of those structures way, way younger.
So caring adults, basically.
Yeah.
Who come from a mindset of support and belief that you can succeed.
Right. And more social workers that are teachers.
Mm-hmm. How do you envision your future after you graduate? Now it sounds like that you're going to be graduating from the UW after you finish with Highline.
So my future right now is looking like transferring to the University of Washington and pursuing my bachelor's and master's degree in social welfare and social work, because I feel like something that I'm passionate about is being the resource that I didn't have when I was younger, and being that support system and being that person that's there for people who were in situations like I was. So young kids who were dealing with a lot of emotional trauma, that were afraid to ask for help, that were very insecure, very, like, had very low self-esteem and just didn't see potential in themselves. I want to be that intervention, or I want to be that prevention, so that no one has to go through what I went through internally. So to me, that looks like somewhere along the lines of counseling, therapy, mental health, whatever I can do to make sure that things are equitable and people are being included and supported and loved the way they need to be loved. Yeah. As long as I can do that, I'll be happy.
Well, if anybody can, I think you can. I mean, you are going to light the world on fire. And I really, really appreciate what you're doing. Chalisa Thompson is a sophomore at Highline College in Des Moines and serves as the student body vice president. Chalisa, thank you so much for coming in.
This is great.
And thank you for listening. To learn more about League of Education Voters or to support our work, please visit educationvoters.org.